And whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. It goes right along with the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring what's happening up there down here. Right? I see what's going on up there, Lord. Bring it down here. And it's this place of we proclaim what we see. So if we bind something on earth, it's because we've seen that it's been bound in heaven already. Well, how can we determine that? Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Because we have the scriptures in front of us. Because we have each other. 2 minute side note. That's what the three witnesses is all about. There's this principle of two or three witnesses in scripture. And I believe that what God has given us as that two or three witnesses is this. The Spirit of God in us, one witness. The Spirit of God in the Word is the second witness, and the Spirit of God in the church is the third witness. And when the Spirit of God in us agrees with the Spirit of God in the Word, agrees with the Spirit of God in the church, like where it's all lining up, yes, amen, 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 we can be confident, yeah, we're hearing correctly, right? But it's this whole idea, this whole reality of we see what's happening in heaven and we proclaim it on earth. We see what's been bound in heaven, we bind it on earth. We see what's being loosed in heaven and we loose it on earth. We get to be those proclaimers. We get to be God's ambassadors, like it says in 1 Corinthians. We get to proclaim and be the... I don't want to say this in a blasphemous way, obviously, but we get to be the Word of God, if you will. That really was, let me have a do-over there, because people are going to misunderstand that. We get to voice out what God has declared. It's like God has set everything up so that and every mechanism so that when a certain button is pressed, fireworks go off, you know? And then he says to us, and we've done this with our kids, something like this, you know, hey, come over here. You press the button. Even though the dad is and the mom has set up everything, right? Now they say to the kid, okay, you press the button. And the kid comes, woohoo! You know, I know that Luke, you guys have had a lot of those firework times in your history there. And God allows us to proclaim what already has been set up in heaven. Proclaim it on earth. We see this example in Jesus. He walked in this world for those 33 years or 33 and a half years or however long he was here. He walked in this world as a man, as a human. He left all the glory, all the rights that he had as God. He left them aside. Not that he stopped being God, can't stop being God, but he left all the rights of the Godhead aside. I'm not going to use that. I'm only going to walk and use what's available to people, to everyone. And then we see him proclaiming in places like John 8 and John 12, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. I look at what he's doing up here and I proclaim it down here. I look at what he's saying and I say it. I look at what he's doing and I walk it out. I go where I see him going. I'm just following. And it's this place of he was just walking out what he saw going on. He just walked it out down here. That's our calling. Okay? Lastly, Mark 16 talks about the end of Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. Talks about those of us who believe there will be certain signs that accompany us. We will speak in new tongues, we'll pick up deadly snakes and we won't be harmed, we'll drink deadly poison, won't be harmed, and we'll heal the sick. Okay? Let me just read it for you, because it's a fascinating passage, right? And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. It's another one. I missed that one there. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. Okay, so that's part of our calling. Just so you know, when it's talking about snakes, it's not talking about literal snakes. It's talking about the demonic, where we can actually stand up to the demonic and hold them. So when you read things like the snakes and the scorpions and wild beasts, it's often talking about the demonic, okay? Although we do see the literal carrying snakes, like when the snake fastened itself to Paul's hand, and Paul wasn't affected by that. But some people have taken that passage off into Crazyville, and actually there's cult churches out there who hold snakes and all that kind of stuff. And they need a new preacher every once in a while, because the preacher gets bitten, they die. So, yeah, it's craziness. Anyways, don't want to go down that tangent. Sorry for taking you a little bit down there. Okay, stop looking down that road, come back. Okay, all this to say, we were just praying for healing. And again, I want to encourage prayers for healing. In your praying for healing, take time to be silent. And yes, we have Philippians, bring your requests to God, make your requests known to God. So we want to do that. So when we're praying for our wife, I love it. I saw Craig praying over Morgan. It's like, Lord, I pray for healing over her back. She wants to pick up her kids. Oh, there's such joy in being able to pick up your kids and throw them in the air, although your kids latch on, and it's a very dangerous thing to try and throw her kids in the air because they'll, and that's how they fall. I learned that one a few years ago. After that, Evie always said, don't throw me. Okay, I won't. But there's such a joy in that. So we make our requests known to God. We lay hands, right? We lay hands and we pray for healing. There's even scriptures that talk about like praying over handkerchiefs and that. So what you can do, and seriously, I've done this with like for spiritual things, I've done this for physical things, I remember praying over our kids' pillows. Going into the room after when they're at school, just laying my hands on their pillows. Lord, I pray that you, I don't know how this works, Lord, but I see it in scripture, so I'm going to just do this by faith. Pray that you'd saturate this pillow with your spirit. I pray that just the beauty of heaven would just touch this physical object, and not out of any like ritualistic kind of way. Like again, the power is in God, not in the item, and yet you see that God, his power flows through items sometimes, right? You see it in Jesus' prayer shawl. You see it in the handkerchiefs. You see it in the dead bones in the Old Testament, right, where this dead guy is tossed into, I think it's Elisha's tomb, and touches the bones, and the person comes to life. You see it, Peter's shadow, which isn't even an animate object. It's just a shadow, and yet it passes over people, and people are being healed. So it's like, okay, there it is. So I do that. You make your requests known to God. You pray for healing. And what I also want us to do more and more is take time then to be silent. God, what are you doing here? What are you doing over this person? Look at all these things. What are you doing over this person? What do you have to say about healing right now? Because I know that I see healing is a part of what we're called to walk out. I know that salvation is, we're all called to be saved. You know, and you can apply this to many things. But what is God doing over the person? And Lord, as I'm making these requests, how is it stirring your heart? I don't know how to exactly phrase it, except to say, take time to pay attention to what the Father is doing through the Holy Spirit, to what the Spirit of Jesus is doing. I love how the Holy Spirit has a number of names. One is the Spirit of God, one is the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of Jesus, and then a number of other names. What is he doing? And then proclaim that out. So we make our requests, but we pay attention. I want to refer back to, you've heard me talk about this, but the one time of obvious healing that I had the privilege of walking out, and being a part of is when I was praying for Jill. You've heard that story where this person, I was pastoring at St. Anne's, and I didn't even know her, but her parents were going to St. Anne's, and I was asked to go. I was just told that she was in the ICU and there was no hope. And the family was gathering, and you know that when the family gathers in the ICU, that means there's no hope medically, right? And so I decided to go, and on my way, I was praying there, and man, God started just, maybe it's not so much that God started pouring himself down on me, maybe I just drove into the outpouring of God, you know? I was driving my car towards the hospital, and all of a sudden, you know how sometimes you're driving, and it's like, I think that's rain up ahead, you know? And you see this just wall of rain, and you're on the road heading towards it, and all of a sudden, few drops, and the, you know, maybe that's what it was like. Maybe as I was just heading towards there, I just drove into the rain of God. And seriously, it at times it took all I could to concentrate and to be able to stay on the road, because when God hits me sometimes, when I feel the manifest presence of God, my body starts twitching sometimes. And I can't explain that. The way I explain it is just, yeah, that makes sense. When our bodies react to things, right? We walk from a warm room out into the cold, right? We listen to a beautiful piece of music. I don't know if you have this. I listen to Handel's Messiah, for instance, and there's some songs where certain notes are hit and I get chills over my body. How can that happen when I'm listening to something musical and yet it affects me physically? So too, when God is stirring, it affects me physically sometimes. Well, I'm driving along and I'm hitting this rain of God is hitting me. Well, I'm shaking all over the place, but I'm supposed to drive. And it's like, Lord, it's hard to stay in the lane when I'm being hit like this. And yet I kept on praying and praying, and God just kept hitting. I look at it now, the way I understand it is, my eyes were being opened to what was going on up here for Jill. And what I did is, as I'm fully aware of what's going on, although I wouldn't have been able to explain it at that point, it was more hindsight, but it's this place of, okay, I'm going to speak out in the physical realm what's going on up here. And I was praying prayers of healing and prayers of healing and prayers of healing, and she made a turnaround. And I understand that there were other people praying too, and God was using many people in that prayer. But from that time, it's like, Lord, I need to understand what's going on. What need to? I don't like phrasing it that way. I would like to understand what's going on here. Came across a verse reading in the book of Acts right now where one of the disciples turns towards a man who is crippled or infirm in some way and saw that he had the faith to be healed. And I'm like, what does that look like? But the way I would describe it is the Spirit of God in them and how they had trained their spirit. Their spirit had been strengthened and trained to discern what's going on above people. And he turns towards one person. Oh, that person has the faith to be healed. And he starts moving there. And what I would say, again, in the context of Scripture, saw that it was God's timing for that person to be healed. And then had the privilege of proclaiming healing over the person. The person stood up and walked. May we take time. Take time to listen. To train our senses. And I love how God is training us. In all things. To be sensitive to him. Not just with healing. And I pray that that would grow. That one we're still at its infancy stages. But that we would grow in it. Be aware. We're growing in prophecy and the prophetic. Continue to listen. The prophetic is all about listening to what God is saying. Last week. Ah. last week, I shared on Monday, last week I think was the best Sunday I have ever been a part of at Emmanuel Grace. It was so good. Sorry for those of you who weren't there. And I'm not even joking this time. Sometimes when the guys aren't at a certain thing, Monday night. Oh, how was Monday night? It was the best ever. I just do that to bug. I'm not doing this to bug. Last week was seriously amazing, at least from my perspective. And even as God was ministering to me, I'm like, is this just over me right now? Like, is he just ministering over me because of something that I need and that he's pouring it, or is it over everyone? And it seemed like it was over everyone, like when I was able to look up, you know, and just paying attention to what God was doing. Okay?
Oh,
so good. Let me give you an example. Again, paying attention to what's going on up here, right? So in the worship, and it's really the worship. I don't know if the message was that good, but the worship, it was amazing, right? And all of a sudden, so I'm sitting in the front row, and all of a sudden I hear, and Evie had brought her recorder. I don't know if she brought it today, but she brought her recorder. She showed it to me when she came in the door at the very beginning. And all of a sudden, in the middle of worship, just this one note, and she's trying to follow the beat a little bit in that. How many heard that last week? Okay. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands for this next one because, again, I want us to grow, but I don't want to embarrass anyone or anything. I don't feel pressured in it. But my question would be this: how many understood at that point that there was more than going on than a little girl playing her recorder and just goofing around or liking the music? How many know that there was something going on up here over Evie? Right. Right. It was more than just some random note, it was more. And the only way we can discern that, and we've all been given the ability, for lack of a better word, we've all been given the ability to discern. We've all been given this organ of sense, like it says in Romans chapter 5 at the end, this organ of sense that is able to distinguish good from evil. And what I would say is able to discern the difference between what is going on in the heavenlies and the spiritual realm and what's just on this earth. We're all given the ability to tell the difference between a note that someone's just playing because... And not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily. And it doesn't just happen with little ones who are doing their thing. It can happen with us. We all have the ability to discern when someone's playing, and this isn't to put pressure on anyone in the band, but like playing a lick on the guitar or something so that, because they think it sounds cool, you know? The difference between a lick that sounds cool and a lick being played on the guitar that is actually inspired and is proclaiming something that's going on up here. And when Evie was playing on that, there was something going on. There was something going on. And at that point, you know, just... One of the things I did at that point was just pray for her because I longed for our little ones to just join in fully to what the Spirit of God is doing in us. And so I wanted to join and just add my 2 cents, if you will. But 2 cents in heaven is worth more than $1 million here on earth. So add my 2 heavenly cents in and just prayed blessing over Evie and pray that she would just have full revelation, that she would have a revelation of the Spirit of God. And I prayed for Quinn too, and just just all joy. And then moved on to what God was doing. But this place of opening ourselves up and understanding what is being loosed in the heavens. And I guess in that, for instance, in that instance, what I was doing is I saw what was being loosed in the heavens over her, and I took some time to loose it on earth. Oh God, may her eyes be open. May she enter into worship, even though she wouldn't even be able to describe what worship is. Okay, got it. I've told this story twice this week, but some of you haven't heard it. So I got it, because this was one of my favorite parts of last week, my absolute favorite parts. So God is just ministering to me, and I have to get down on my knees. Okay, let me explain why, too, because the reason we do things, and it should be for this reason. I had to get down on my knees because that's what was happening over me in the heavenlies, right? I hope we don't just raise our hands because that's the thing to do, because we're becoming a church that is comfortable with raising our hands. I hope we don't wave our flags because that's something we become comfortable with, and it's just a part of our tradition. It's part of our culture here at Emmanuel Grace. I hope that's not why we do it. I hope we don't blow the shofar just because, well, we're comfortable with that, and we think it sounds good, and it creates this beautiful aroma in the room, you know, which we know it doesn't. But, like, it's this. No, hopefully we don't. I love it when during worship it's like, man, a shofar needs to be blown. And say I'm waving the flag at that point and I don't have my shofar, and it's like, a shofar needs to be blown. And all of a sudden, a second later, someone's blowing the shofar. It's like, yes! It's not because, oh, that fits so beautifully musically. You got to understand, I have a musical ear, and the shofars do not fit musically. They're perfectly into, it reminds me of a little aside here. One time we were having worship practice at John Tifo's house, and the guys, I think Josh and Larry brought their shofars, and they were blowing them during the worship practice. Later on, John says his son came to him and said, who was that playing the saxophone? They were horrible. Man, you guys are tolerant. We don't blow the shofars because it sounds great musically. We blow them because there's something going on here that needs to be proclaimed. And if we ever start blowing the shofars or waving the flags or whatever because it's in vogue or it's something we do or it's part of our culture, it'll get dead really fast. It'll just sound ugly, wrong. Anywho, so I get on my knees because God is just driving me to my knees during this one song, and I'm there, and then I have my head to the ground, arms out front of me, and just, worshiping Jesus. And all of a sudden, so if you can picture, so when you're on your knees, right, you have this little, your knees, and then up, and then there's a little triangle, a space of triangle between your forehead, your waist, and your knees. There's this triangle. And all of a sudden, I feel something at my right side. And I take a peek, and it's Kira. And she does this two or three times. The last time, her head is right here as I'm down on my knees facing me, right? I open my eyes, and she's just looking at me. Seriously, my favorite moment of last week for a few reasons. A, I was really happy because God showed me at that point what he's done in me. Because a few years ago, that would have freaked me out, and it would have totally derailed me of what God was doing. It would have totally taken me off the rails, and probably some soulish stuff would have come up in me, and like, you're disturbing me. God was just ministering to me. What are you doing? Kind of thing, you know? And it's like, it didn't derail me at all. So I was like, praise God. And then the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, how are they going to learn if they don't see it? And again, not that two-year-old Kira would explain it this way or even fully know what's going on. But it's this place of, I'm curious as to what's going on here. Not just physically, but spiritually. And as she looks at us and as the little ones look at us, they're learning. The only way I could discern that, though, is if I'm aware of what's going on up here. Because again, if my eyes are just on the physical, it's like, ah! I didn't even get scared, and I get scared. I get startled. I think most of us do. If we're concentrating on one thing, and then all of a sudden someone, I get startled. And the last time, I didn't necessarily even feel her. She just snuck in there. May we be aware of what's going on spiritually. May our prayer be, Lord, what are you doing? Help me see what you're doing. I want to know what you're doing. Would you let me in on your movements and what you're doing, where you're moving, where you're going, what you're saying, what you want me to see? Would you let me in on what's going on here? I want to be aware. I want to be like Jesus, who just simply spoke what he heard you saying, who did what he saw you doing, who went where he saw you going. I want to be like that. I don't want to be like, and again, this is before the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be like the disciples who, when the little kids come, say, hey, get away. Jesus has more important things to do. And Jesus is like, are you not aware of what's going on here? Bring the little children to me. The kingdom of God actually belongs to such as these. Do you not understand that you have a lot to learn from these kids? Do you not see that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these? But the disciples were still thinking, just like their culture thought, oh, this is man time. When the men gather at the city of the gate and discuss theological things. It's like, no, do you not understand? Do you not see what the kingdom of God is all about? Do you not see what God is doing? Right? Oh, may we be aware. May we be aware. And may we join in and loose on earth what has been loosed in heaven already, and bind on earth what it has been bound in heaven. That's why we have authority over the demons. Because in the heavenlies, the proclamation has already been made. Now, it isn't fully fulfilled yet, but that's why we can walk confidently. Jesus defeated you at the cross, we can say to the enemy. You have no right to be here. Now, then the demon might say, yeah, actually, this person whom I'm harassing and invading, they've given me a right to be here. Oh, okay, then you do have a right to be here. We turn to the person, say, I'm hearing from up here that maybe there's some unforgiveness or unrepented sin that the enemy is holding on to or something. Would you ask for forgiveness for that? Would you repent of that? And it's like breaking chains loose. And yes, I need to ask for forgiveness. Oh, Lord, forgive me for holding on to that. Forgive me for inviting this in. Okay, and then we can turn back to the demonic and say, okay, and now get out. Get out in the name of Jesus. Pay attention. So back to the healing. I don't understand why people aren't healed every time we pray. I really don't. And I don't want to try and come up with theologies that are not in line with what Scripture teaches, just so that we can feel better about understanding. I don't mind wandering through the wilderness of not understanding, if you will, or that deep fog. It's like, no, Lord, I want to remain true to what you're saying. But I know we've been given authority. Right here in Mark, it says it. It says it. And I don't understand why it doesn't always walk that, like that, why it doesn't always work out that way where a person's healed. What I do know is that we are called to pray for people and pray for them to be healed. But I think a big part of that understanding, if you will, a big part of walking it out is just take a moment and listen. And we're going to misunderstand sometimes. We're going to misunderstand. We're going to get it wrong, but that shouldn't stop us. Yep.
You have to press the button.
Oh,
So I've been suffering for a while, and I am.
He'll turn it up. It's on. I can hear it.
And my question was, because there's so much more healing that is needed than what I suffer from.
Right.
So I have a hard time asking for healing for me because mine seems minor compared to what other people deal with. So I have a hard time with that. And it's like, why do I have the right to ask for healing when there's so many other people that need it more than me?
Right. And that's where, like, may the Lord bring us understanding about this. It's like surgery. One thing I've learned about surgery is there is no such thing as minor surgery. Right? There's no such thing as minor surgery. Or even with our children, one breaks their leg and one gets a little scrape on their knee. The parent pays attention to both, and both are like have the parent's attention. You know, or should at least. And then also, we need to understand this too. Okay, so with God, he's not like us. I am bound to a 24-hour day. Like, I only can be, and then I can only be in one place at one time. And I only have so much resource, right? Like with finances, for instance, if a need comes up, and if a bunch of needs come up, I only have so much finance to go out. And so it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you because I actually have to choose to spend my finance over here. God's not like that. So God can hear everyone's prayer and not be distracted. Like, he can be fully all in with each and every prayer. And he has unlimited resource. So it's not like he's saying, I've only got so much healing to go around. I've got to be careful how I divide this out. No, unlimited healing. So maybe the way to look at it, the way we need to look at it, and you're not the only one who deals with it. I do too. Like, I'm like, who am I to ask for anything? I've got a roof over my head, food on my plate. I live in a beautiful country. There are starving children in Africa. There are children being sold into sex slavery right now. Like, who am I to ask for anything? Who am I to pray for, oh, Lord, can we have a vacation as a family? Like, there's people dying out there, you know. But the thing is, if we can actually look at it in this way, if all other requests were already taken care of, would you come to the Lord? If every single other request in the world were taken care of, would you come and say, okay, Lord, can I talk to you about this? It's like, yeah, of course. And in his eyes, that's almost the way it is, where, no, I'm focused on you right now and fully on you. And it's almost like there is nothing else. Of course there is, but again, he's able to walk that out with other people fully. He loves you. Like, his eyes are fully fixed on you. Full attention. See, again, we as parents, even the most loving of us as parents, our attention is divided. You know? And so, yeah, say you have your one child. Okay, everything has gone perfectly well, and your one child scrapes their knee. You know, the day is perfect. No other disasters or anything. You are fully in. Oh, honey, let me kiss that better. Let me hold you. Let me put a Band-Aid on. Let's get some chocolate milk, you know, whatever. Let's get some candies, because candies solve everything. You know, whatever it is, you're fully in. But if you have a child who, yeah, breaks their leg or lands on their head and has a concussion and you're worried about, and then at the same moment your other child scrapes their knee, you're going to be kind of like, okay, you're all right, you're going to be fine, and then you put your full attention on the kid who's fallen on their head or broken their leg or whatever, because our attentions have to be divided. But with God, no. He can fully minister to the one who has landed on his head or broken his leg or whatever, and he can fully minister to the one who has scraped their knee. And he's all in on both. Does that make sense? Yeah. He's the perfect parent to us all, no matter what we're going through. And it's not that he's patronizing us either. Because again, the parent who has the child with the scraped knee, you're not patronizing the child when you're like, oh, come here in for a hug and let me kiss it better. You're fully all in because you know that is everything to your child at that point, right? And you understand that. And unless you're hardened like I was sometimes, you know, but if you're a good parent, I'm talking, if you're a good parent, you're all in. Does that make sense? Yeah. So fight against, because this is a lie that the enemy wants to bring us. Fight against that lie of, oh, my stuff isn't big enough to bring to the Lord. There's other people with more. You know what? There's always other people with more. No, I don't know everyone's life fully here, but no one's life in this room is even close to being the worst of what's going on in the world. None of us. Even close. Not even close. And yet God is so fully in when he's all in and he is paying attention and he wants to hear. Yeah, don't believe those lies. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember specifically. You said, I think, is it a person of faith where, you know, snakes and stuff won't harm you?
Mm-hmm.
And said that you could drink poison and not be harmed.
Mm-hmm.
I just, where you were saying the snakes, it's just an analogy, it's not really snakes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the poison is also not
mm-hmm.
poison.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jesus referred to mm-hmm. drinking the Lord's, I'll drink your cup, which meant the cup of poison, I think.
Mm-mm.
When he was in Gethsemane, no, didn't he reference?
No, not a cup of poison, but like
you drink your cup. He said, yes, it's almost.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just think it's not poison. I think it's just, I think they're referring to something really bad, and we can handle it. It's not going to harm us.
Right.
It's like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not going to harm me. You're with me.
Yeah, I think it more has to do, like, so I just don't want us to mix up what was going on with the garden. Like, it's not the same cup, it's not a cup of poison, but it was a cup of suffering that he was supposed to go through, but he actually, you know, and he had to walk through it. But I think what he's referring to with the cup of poison is, yeah, sometimes the harmful stuff that is around us, it won't affect us. Like, the poison that the world is drinking right now. You know, we were joking about it sitting around here. We live in a world that is offended by everything, and we live in a world that is a world of outrage. They're just looking to be outraged and angry. And you know, the political climate or whatever, and, you know, you have, in our country, you have certain people who hate Trudeau and just, oh, fire him. Or when Kathleen, oh, fire Wynne, I'll just get all worked up. And down in the States, oh, I hate Trump, he's this or that. And then other people love Trump, and some people love Trudeau, and all this kind of stuff. And all the craziness, we can be people who can walk in the midst of it and just not be affected. Just not affected. It reminds me of Jesus walking through the mob that wants to kill him. It's like, it's not my time, and not going to be affected by it. We will have to walk through the suffering that the Lord has called us to walk through, just like Jesus did with the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross and such. And there are trials that he has ordained for us. And okay, but as far as the world stuff, the poison, if we choose to follow Christ, we don't have to be affected by that at all, even though it's all around us. Okay, so I'm going to leave you with this. And this is my prayer for us, may we be more and more aware of what's going on in the heavenlies. Pray for each other, specifically, with what God was doing there with the healing. pray for each other. Pray for our town, pray for our region, pray for our government, but take time and exercise that organ of sense, if you will, exercise your spirit. What is God doing? And even as we're worshiping together, every once in a while, just when you notice God is moving and on the move, take time to just really process and take in what he's doing. Like, I'm seeing him move right now. Like, whenever you, again, played the recorder last week, it's like, I see that this is more than just a little girl playing on her recorder. This is something more. Ah, it's God. And just, like I've shared before, stare at it. Just look at it and take it in, because that's how we will become more and more discerning. And then we share it with each other and we grow in discernment together. Okay? Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when that happens, you're going to be able to see the evil as well.
Absolutely.
So, just saying.
Yeah, just saying. It's true. It's true. We're going to, we want to be aware. We want to be aware of what's going on. Not that we're going to seek after the evil or anything, but yeah, you will see some stuff that isn't pleasant too. So Lord, I pray that, well, first of all, I praise you. I praise you for how you're growing us up. And Lord, we commit to walking out what we know to be true already. We're going to pray for healing. And I pray that you would remind us more and more to just keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. We commit to that, Lord. And I pray that our eyes would be opened to your movement, where we would speak out what you call us to speak out, or we would proclaim what we see in the heavenlies when we're called to proclaim it, or we would do what we're called to do, what we see you doing, how we see you moving. And may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we recognize the atmosphere around us and wherever we are. May we be aware of what you have bound in heaven, and may we be aware of what you are loosing in heaven, what you're pouring out. And may we be in step with you and ready to receive and ready to proclaim. We love you. In your name, amen.